Blog Talk Radio.
Politics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. This evening's show is a megalithic roundtable, a roundtable on megalithic structures. And the first guest I pulled in tonight is a mad painter, Mr. Thomas Becker. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your website?
Oh, it's just a site where you can go and see some of my artwork and some old interviews. I haven't updated in about a year. I've been lazy.
Got any, you got your book, kind of?
No, they have to go to Rev Radio to get it.
Revolution Radio to get the book, okay.
Yeah, it's just a small PDF of, it's called A Mad Look at Reality, and it's just my opinion on some of the stuff we talk about at the station.
That's awesome. Let's pull in Barbara DeLong. Hope she's hopefully she's around. I know she knows about tonight, so it's just a matter of.
She's a fascinating lady.
She is. Well, let me pull in the next person too, and we'll wait to see if Barbara can picks up or not. Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. Why don't you tell the listeners about your website and your books, plural?
I only have one so far, Mark, but...
You're working on one, aren't you? Don't you have...
Oh, yes, I'm working on a couple of them, actually. Website is barbaradelong.com. Has a lot of spiritual information on it, as well as things that I have researched, like giants and stones and UFOs and things like that. The book is Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom, and the one that is already published, and that's Poetry and Spiritual Vignettes. And the books I'm working on, there are a couple of them. One is on giants, and one is on the Emerald Tablets that
wow.
have been sort of popping up in material all over the place lately, so I thought it would be fun to really research them and get into them and do some personal interpretation of my own.
Awesome. Let me pull in our next guest. It's Keith Hunter. Keith, how are you this evening?
Yeah, not too bad. It's 2 o'clock in the morning here, though.
I know, you're up late. Tell the listeners about your website and your books and all that sort of stuff.
My website's called occultphysics.com. It's all one word, no space, occultphysics.com. And it deals with, well, the word occult simply means hidden. But also, in a sense, it means a bit sinister because some of the topic areas concerned are touching upon that sort of aspect of things. So it basically looks at ancient mysteries, esoteric science, megalithic structures, calendar systems of the Maya, also you know, some of the relations and megalithic structures which seem to be replicated in modern military facilities that are being built. So it looks at you know, the whole idea of an advanced civilization at some point beyond recorded history, which itself is, you know, we seem to have evidence of. And that we seem to be replicating this advanced science. That's the title of my book is called The Lost Age of High Knowledge. And so it's basically concerned with some of the secrets of mathematics, if you will, and of some of the geometry systems we use, degrees, minutes, seconds of arc, and how that ties into an ideal Earth-Moon system, and how there was once an incredible harmony to the world, but how the cycles embedded in essentially the numeric frequencies and cycles of that system, how they actually transfer onto the Earth and show you how the mathematics of that was used to derive measurement systems which tied together ancient megalithic structures. So that's primarily what my website's about and what my book's focuses on.
Let me pull my next guest in this evening, Mr. Kosal Uch. And I know he's got, actually he's written quite a few books, which I find really interesting because he seldom talks about them. He seldom brings up even the titles. Maybe he's forgotten them, I don't know. He has a device he calls Barame, which means life force, and he says it helps him communicate with his higher self. I don't know where he gets all this information from. It must be his higher self. Well, he's not picking up right away, so...
Is it a device he's constructed, like an electrical device?
Well, I don't think so. He... for a while, he was using like a seashell kind of thing. He'd have to tell you exactly how it works or how it allegedly works. He pulls a lot of interesting information out of either his subconscious or the ethers or from somewhere. I'm not sure how, but... anyway, we'll just keep letting that ring. Kosal is not picking up. Last time we were talking about the Great Pyramid of Giza and the Bosnian Pyramid, and we talked a little bit about pyramids in Mexico, pyramids in China, and is there a pyramid at the Kali Mountain? Does anyone know? Maybe that was Kosal.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not an expert. I've done, because of the work that I've done, I've certainly have records of pyramids all over the place, but that's one if there is, I've missed it.
Weren't you talking about was it called the Pyramid of the Sun?
That's in South America. That's in Teotihuacan.
Okay. And that's as big as the Great Pyramid?
The footprint is exactly the same. Exactly.
That's quite interesting. I wonder how that ever came about.
That's part of that sacred geometry.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing, when theoretically the Great Pyramid was built, they didn't even have wheels or compasses. Or tools that were anything other than copper and bronze. So you can't tell me that, first of all, humans built it. And above and beyond that, all of the stones, they used a very thin adhesive, and they were able to keep the stones in place and everything. And when they did carbon dating on it, it dated way, 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 way back. However, they couldn't identify any of the materials in the adhesive.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
That's the casing stone blocks. Is it something like a 50th of an inch? And again, the scientists can't replicate exactly what the mixture is.
No. They and not only that, the Great Pyramid was covered with a sheath of white... of white stone, I can't remember. I think it's white granite.
It was polished
granite?
Limestone.
Limestone?
Most
okay.
of Cairo's built out of it.
And that's right. There was an earthquake, and the facing fell off, and they took the stones, and the casing was covered with hieroglyphics. And it wasn't hieroglyphics. It was covered in a text that they could not identify. It was not Sumerian. It was not hieroglyphics. They couldn't identify it. And so science and archaeology, et cetera, in their great wisdom, just took the stones and flipped them around. The cool thing is that the backside of the stones were also polished, so that it was not that it was just, you know, polished on one side and rough on the other. Both sides were polished.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I wonder why they polished the back side of the stones.
You know, it sounds like it's an architect with OCD.
I just didn't know which side was going to be facing out.
Well, and they as well were cut, and they weren't cut flat either. All four sides of the pyramid are slanted inward, so it's really not a four-sided pyramid, it's an eight-sided pyramid.
Oh, it is eight-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very subtle indent on that one. Very subtle, yes.
The best time to see it is at the equinox.
Why is that better?
Because it's shining right down on it. Or it's, all I know is the shadow shows real good then.
Oh, you mean the eight sides?
Yep.
That's very interesting. So what do you guys think about the Bosnian pyramid? Do you think it's a real pyramid?
They've discovered concrete blocks.
Yeah, but they haven't. Have they done any digging at all inside
time? They're trying to clear tunnels now that were deliberately filled in for some reason.
I've not heard anything specific about this in terms of a real internal structure. My understanding, at least of this Bosnian pyramid, is that it's earth-shaped. In other words, people have, you know, molded the ground in order to make a pyramid, but there's no actual, you know,
They've actually discovered concrete blocks that were laid in place on a lot of the areas.
I had heard that there were tunnels inside, and this is what I'm just trying to clarify. It's not something I've looked into, whether there are tunnels that are artificial with, you know, block walls and so forth internal to it. But I'm not aware that the pyramid itself has, you know, is anything other than an earth-shaped one, if you see what I'm saying. I might be wrong, but...
Right, it might be an earthen pyramid, but I know that they have discovered areas where there's actual concrete blocks.
So, Keith, are you saying...
Stuff we can't even produce today.
Keith, are you saying you think it's just like an earth pyramid? It doesn't have any...
We've got mounds like this as well in England here and there, where somebody's like, they've almost essentially created an artificial hill or a hub.
They've done quite a few here in the U.S.
Yeah, mounds. And obviously some of them are like big, like, you know, almost like half spheres, or, you know, or a mound, if you will. You know, they're not really intent upon creating a kind of sharp-edged pyramid thing. And I've seen photos of the Bosnian one. And again, it's one of those things that when you stand back and look at some of the photos, it does look to have sharp edges in it, as if somebody's formed the earth in order to shape the outer, you know, pyramid shape. But I'm just saying that I'm under the impression that, you know, it's not like there's a real physical stone pyramid there and somebody's put earth on top of it to cover it. From what I gather, it's purely an earth formed, you know,
it
the shape
be,
of it.
You know.
I have heard, though, that there are pyramids in China, much like the pyramid in Egypt, but they just covered it over with earth.
They actually planted trees on them.
Yeah.
That is a story that I was going to bring up, but we didn't have time in the last episode, because I know that there are a few formations of pyramids in China, and again, these are like earth-shaped pyramids, but there was one very intriguing story of a massive, bright, white pyramid, bigger even than the Great Pyramid. And it was found by, I think it was a US air pilot during World War II, and he was flying over a part of China. And he spotted it, and he was amazed at it. And it was like one of these sites, almost like a sighting of a UFO, where somebody puts a report in for something very strange that they've seen. And he reported it. And there are rumors around that it has been suppressed, its very existence is suppressed, you know, And some people have even said that the Chinese have built a great big hangar over the top of it, to hide it. I know it sounds weird, but this is a story that I've heard about that. So this is why when you said about the Chinese pyramids, I know that there are some definite earthen pyramids there, but there was just this intriguing story about this great white polished type pyramid, just like the Great Pyramid, only bigger, which was recorded. But again, it's one of those things that there's only a few sources on it, and it's hard to gauge the authenticity of it.
The reason I heard that the Chinese covered it up is because the mummies they found in there were tall and blonde or red-haired. And they didn't like the idea of Caucasians being...
Yeah, they didn't want the ethnics there.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to keep it Chinese, right?
I've heard of the story of that pyramid, too.
It's very, very interesting. What do you think of that, Barbara?
How could I have missed a giant? I mean, really, I thought I'd hit them all. The one Chinese pyramid, the first emperor's pyramid, they have covered with soil and they planted trees on it. They, for some reason, they're very reluctant to dig into it, and I really don't understand why. But
probably it gives more of an insight of actually how old our society is.
I have heard that in China there are records, ancient records, of a time when the Chinese went to the moon in the ancient past. I know that sounds absolutely absurd. Have you guys ever heard anything about that?
No.
I don't think it sounds absurd at all.
Go ahead.
I did hear a story. The Vimanas, I think, from India.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Manuscripts detailing some of these flying craft and the mercury involved in them and some of the tie-ins to that, which... even Joseph Fowles investigated. And I did hear a story that allegedly China found some documents discussing these Vimana craft, and they were classified for military reasons. Again, the assumption is that they did reveal certain aspects of this kind of propulsion system, novel anti-gravity propulsion system. So you've got to think about it. I mean, there's so much stuff out there that if we did have an advanced civilization prior to recorded history, that which was more open, known to the world, if you will, whereas today it's kind of a lot more suppressed, if you will, that the contact is more, sporadic, I think, between humans and extraterrestrials. They're not openly walking among us and even acknowledged by our government, but it seems to me that at a time, in the past, that was the case. So I think all things are possible. We're not just talking about even moon bases, or we're talking about bases in other, on other celestial bodies in our solar system, and even in other star systems. We'd have to go to that level as well if we're talking about extraterrestrial contact.
Well, I love to talk about the Vimanas. I think that's so interesting. Doesn't the Mahabharata talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it does. And they have paintings of the ships. The Vimanas were the ships that they rode in, and they're very open about the flying ships and explained that they have pictures that show people riding in the ships. So I'm not sure how far back the Mahabharata goes, but it seems to me that it's been I think Patrick had sightings back 45,000 years. So
wow,
they've been there for a long time.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I have a guest, Henry Kroll, who we've talked several times about the flying Vimanas. They had a structure. The engine in the ship was shaped like the caduceus. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
The medical symbol.
The medical symbol with the two rotating snakes. There were two rotating pipes. And what they would do is they would spin that structure in it, and it had the mercury inside. And I think the mercury weighs like 116 pounds per gallon. So it builds up this incredible centrifugal force. When that spins, when they would spin this structure, and it would literally generate a time field around the craft, which would also create anti-gravity. So they had anti-gravity in the ancient past, allegedly. So I'm hearing a clicking noise. Are you guys getting that?
And he just said it briefly, but
click, click, click. Oh, you hear that? Right there? It's our mystery listener.
It isn't me.
I don't think it's me.
Anyway, that,
no, it's not me.
That's so weird. I tell you what, it's probably the NSA. I don't know why they care about us talking about ancient structures. Although,
you were saying there about the mercury in the cylinders, it does tie in a lot to the work of Joseph Farrell. And it reminds me of the Die Glocke, which is German for the bell. And it is the work that the Nazis were engaged in during the Second World War. And they, again, they had a special compound, a serum, and they had set up this into, one of their deep underground bases, factories, if you will, some of the hidden experimental sites. And they got it rotating, like you say, and it not only produced anti-gravity effects and weight reduction, it also created a very dangerous field around it. It killed plant life. It, disintegrated, and a lot of workers and even scientists involved in this were killed very near it.
Wow.
And, it almost reminds you of some of the effects of high radiation. And another strange story, which, again, was reported a while ago, was somebody, I think it was in America, this. It's one of these stories which seems a bit bizarre, but some woman... I think a couple of members of the family were trying to sue the U.S. government because they were driving out, in a remote place or whatever, and they came across a UFO, a saucer-shaped, disc-shaped craft which came near them, and it was accompanied by two black helicopters, and so she kind of assumed it was a government, a saucer. And when they had the encounter, a few days later, they were all sick, radioactive kind of contamination, air falling out, the whole works. And so just being near the presence of this craft, and it makes you think that, being near some of these craft, they're not safe. They can be emitting some dangerous fields. I've seen other reports of them almost giving you beneficial fields. And, affecting the human psyche, there's been some very interesting encounters like that. But other times, you've got this indication that some of the propulsion systems and what they do is dangerous if you approach them, And it almost ties into that Vimana as well. You were just talking about the Mahabharata and some of the legendary stories. Again, it's a classic story of... we like to think of it all as symbolism or whatever such and such a god, or he releases his invincible weapon, this massive thunderbolt, and it's all written like mythology. And there was one story, I believe, in the Mahabharata, talking about some soldiers which, at the brunt end of somebody unleashing one of their powerful weapons, and there was, because of this effect, all the soldiers had to take off the clothes and go into the water and wash themselves down. And I immediately thought, wow, radioactive contamination, they must be thinking along those lines. There's some almost intriguing statements made which seem almost ridiculous, but if you are to accept it in light of possible advanced technology and craft and weapons, it makes sense.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And, going back to the Vimanas, a lot of the temples in India, they're structured exactly the way the Vimanas were pictured in the ancient texts.
Can I talk?
And
give me one.
In a minute.
I'm in.
In a minute.
Okay.
You were late.
Oh,
you
I didn't know.
Late.
I'm sorry. I didn't know I was in there.
and also in that Palenquin... in that Palenquin tomb we talked about last week, that the shape of the ship that king is pictured in is just like the Vimanas. So, somewhere there is synchronicity along the way here.
Kosar didn't introduce you yet. Why don't you talk a little bit about your book and your website, your books?
Oh, yes. Talking about my books. Yes, my books, you can get them at Amazon. It's K-O-S-O-L, last name O-U-C-H. Basically, every subject, every secret known to man, I wrote it in the book. Vibrational technology to building anti-gravity to developing, creating device that harness the electromagnetic earth to use it as a weapon, a weather control earthquake, or even consciousness control, even opening portal that allows you to speed forward time, I mean the space, so it can create faster time or hyper time or time dilational effect. I already create such technology and I put them on my book just to say, just to share it with humanity. And that's my book. So go ahead, Mark.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You talked last show about a pyramid in Kali Mountain.
The Kali Mountain Pyramid. It is an octagon hedron pyramid built by the ancient colonies of human beings that are in the Lemuria time. And so in that area, to significant, one of the greatest node point that anchor in Kali is very important because all relate to Shambhala. Because Shambhala is basically the inner culture of the Lemurian colony. So we're right now in this age and cycle, we're still under the Lemurian umbrella. You know, the age of the Lemuria is still ongoing even in our time. Vamana and that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead. Let's
well, I was going to ask you, where is the Kali Mountain located again?
It's in Kali Mountain. You have to Google search it. it will give you the exact geolocation.
Can you give me a rough estimate? Like, is it in China? Is it, where is it at?
Kali Mountain is next to, it's in India, the territory of India, basically next to the Himalaya area.
Okay.
It is a holy place where a lot of Hindu, Buddhist, and even Muslim people go to do pilgrimage for the Lord Shiva, basically.
Is it as large as the Great Pyramid?
Oh, it's 10 times larger than the Great Pyramid. It's larger than the Pyramid of the Bosnia Pyramid. Mount Kali is the Great Pyramid itself. It looks like an octahedron. But be warned, if you go to Mount Kali, you step in the wrong vibrational frequency, time will fall in. Specifically, what that means, you might step in as a little boy, might come out as an old man. Or you might step in as an old man and come out as a young man. Does that make sense to you? Because it will affect your spatial field dramatically. It will be depending on your state of consciousness. So it's not a place that where you can wander off, because if you wander in the wrong geographic direction, you might end up in a different earth or a different space-time spectrum, another parallel dimension. And that's why the mountain is revealed. That's why they call it the node point of the gods. The ancient Chinese call it where the emperor of the dragon lives. And the ancient Hindu call it where the gods live, just like Mount Meru.
Keith, what do you think of this?
Go ahead.
Do you think that there's a Kali pyramid, or is this just a myth?
So this is is it an octahedron? Are you talking about basically an eight-sided, base to it?
Yes.
The
other side of the pyramid is in the ground. Why you only see the top sided pyramid itself, and the pyramid, the full pyramid, look like an octahedron. This that's why they call Mount Kali. The entire mountain is the pyramid. And it's according to his Oryo and Yogi tradition, it has been the meeting site of most of the most revered yogi and also practitioner, and as well as for the people that follow the Hindu system.
Is this a natural, basically a natural rock mountain that has been actually shaped?
No, it's not an artificial mountain. that it has been there since time immemorial. During the time of Rima, the Rama and the Great Sri Lanka continent, which is also will rise again, though people do pilgrimage to that mountain as well. There's two Sri Lanka. You know, one is the Sri Lanka, and they also the great continent of Sri Lanka, where the battle that described in the Mahabharata and the Vedic took place. You know, because remember, during the time which you talk about in the Vedic culture, the Mahabharata culture and tradition, that time there was no such thing as rain, atmosphere, depression. Human beings at that time, they had mastered vibrational technology, such as, you know, called Vamana. It's nothing more than vibrational technology. That's why all the temple, all the structure you see in India, even in Angkor Wat Temple, all built into fractal resonance, you know, like a fingerprint, like the seashell. That's why the shape looked like seashell. Even the Vamana looked like a resonant, a musical note, because it's designed to create resonance. And that's how they flew. When the pilot, if you want to make a Vamana, you don't need technology. You just take wood, for example, and shape look like a Taurus, you know, a flying saucer. And inside, you would see you would see the inner of the Taurus. It would look like two pyramid pointing towards each other inside. And then you have an inner system. You have what we call a dish-like system that it has a pyramid, you know, like a cone pointing down with it. And then you just put your hand in between it. And then your hand is already in fractal, designed by nature. And when you begin to activate it with your mind, just talk to it mentally, and then the resonance of that particular shape will begin to vibrate with your consciousness. And that's how people are able to fly. Once this shape, this Taurus shape, allows resonance to increase, to amplify. The truth is there's two types of beings, those who create the Vamana to actually create resonance and to move across the spatial field, and those who can do it with the mind, you know, as in the yogi or levitator. So they can do it the same way. And that's why the shape of the building looks like it's in fractal form, because all it is just going to amplify the human consciousness resonance. And it more, the more it amplified, the more it begins to create its own unique local space-time resonance. And that's what caused the ship to fly or caused the yogi to levitate. Because when you're able to vibrate, your vibration increased more stronger than the vibration of your environment. Because they work on specific prana or electromagnetic etheric field, what is known as prana. And that's why they built the way they built. And that's why you will never find advanced technology, what you call advanced technology in the world. They just use resonant system, which is act and work like advanced technology, because it works as an amplifier of consciousness. Does that make sense? That's why the people of that time meditate a lot. They knew if they don't meditate, they cannot project the consciousness into the resonant system. You got, in order to have a tuning fork, you first build a tuning fork device, which is fractal in nature, which is shaped like you see the wheel, a Taurus, as a flying saucer. Once the pilot go in, he just sit in a chair. There is no mechanical movement. The whole shape looks like a bowl itself. It's already creating a resonance. They just put an air next to it, and they just say, ship, rise. He just do it audioly and mentally. And next thing you know, his consciousness begins to project its frequency into the ship, which is the shape of the ship. And after that, the ship begins to resonate. That resonance will keep going to the point that it begins to move. Once you think of a place, you say, ship, take me to this place. Outwardly, you just there for 1 second, and the electromagnet still warped you in another place. Because according to the Vedic literature, that human consciousness, as above, it shall be below. That means whatever you think, there is a real place out there that exists. And so you project the frequency into the ship will amplify the frequency, and guess what? Next thing you know, you're there for 1 second. Next thing you know, you are there, exact where to be, another galaxy or another planet. So that's why you see about ship can carry a lot, a group of souls from one planet to the next. And that's why the people at that time had to meditate a lot in order to create concurrency.
Barbara, what do you think?
You're never going to use that kind of stuff. You have to have concurrency in your consciousness. I gave you so much information.
I think that there's I think he makes sense. I I'm not sure I totally agree, but I think he makes a great deal of sense. I do have a question, if I may. You mentioned somewhere back 15, 20 minutes or so, Shambhala. And there are plane landing on my roof as soon as it's over.
Wow.
You mentioned Shambhala. And recently I ran across a lot of material about Hollow Earth. And it did mention Shambhala was in Hollow Earth. And at first I thought this was a joke. And the more I read, the more I ran into information that Admiral Byrd actually had in his journals that he had been there. And he was told to not speak about it. And I was wondering what Cosell thought about the Hollow Earth philosophy.
Well, let's speak it from both the left-hand point of view and the right-hand point of view, how Shambhala and Hollow Earth work with our practical reality. Number one, Hollow Earth do exist, but most of the left-hand will say that exists in another space-time continuum. And the right-hand people, like Admiral Byrd, who went to see it, they actually saw it's a physical place. So what's that telling you? That means the people who built Shambhala, they already understand how electromagnetic etheric work with the mainline. You have to be at a certain ley line. That's why the access point cannot be entered a different way, or otherwise you will miss the vibrational frequency. Notice the flight, that particular missing flight, the one MH370, the one that in March got missing. That flew from is it Indonesia or Malaysia? I'm sorry, toward China, and all of a sudden it disappeared when it went next to Cambodia area, the Cambodia Sea. Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Okay.
Well, why don't we hold off on that? Just a second. Oh, sorry. Keith, what do you think of the idea that this higher technology takes advantage of the human mind's natural abilities? In other words, somehow these technologies are taking advantage of some kind of ability that's inherent in us. They use resonance in some way. In other words,
resonance amplifiers. Yeah.
If you looked at very, very advanced technology from the past or even extraterrestrial technology, I get a feeling it might look almost fake because we would expect to see gadgets and wires and all this other stuff, and it's just not there. What do you think, Keith?
I think, it's a bit like, when magnetic tape came out, cassette tape, just for example, you can record right now onto a magnetic tape, yeah? I mean, it's a bit old because we're into CDs. But if you'd have taken a tape and you'd have showed it to somebody a couple hundred years ago and actually said or made the claim that on that little spoolie thing there, there's all kinds of audio sounds all recorded there, and they'd look at you and think, how can you record sound? That's nonsense. Do you know what I mean? They literally wouldn't understand the technology. It's right in front of them. But they're looking at a strip of the strip magnetic tape. And how can that record? How can anything be stored on that? And you're right. If you are talking about advanced science, it's magical to people who, are primitive, if you will. So, but as far as technology amplifying the human mind, I think, the human is the critical component in these devices. They're the ones that interact with the machines. The machines can aid them, but it's all about the human being and the mind at the center of it all. So I'd totally agree with that. And this is what people talk about with regards to UFOs, that they interact by the pilots. The pilots interact with the UFO, and that allows them to travel. It's not like a nuts and bolts thing, like somebody driving a car or whatever, where they're just pressing buttons and there's a total disconnect between the pilot and the machine. With a case of you know, advanced proportion systems like that, they do work on consciousness. This is what, you know, certain of the people in the field of UFO have reported. This is the kind of thing they're saying. And so this, again, it ties back to all the reasons why, you know, people will meditate, why they'll try to control their states of consciousness. I'm sure that entire tradition is not just one of, oh, I feel happy, my body's relaxed. I'm sure it does ultimately go back to trying to how to interact with the Earth and the Earth's energy flows and also some of this advanced technology. But again, that's the component that we've lost. And this is why people just go to yoga classes and or that Falun Gong stuff, and they just—it's all like a big aerobics exercise that you could just videotape and sell at $20 a pop, you know, feel good stuff. But I'm sure that, you know, there is—they've lost the critical aspect to it, but it really is based on, you know, some very advanced stuff that goes way back.
But what? The truth is, it's not even advanced. It just worked on vibrational, acoustic, a shape that amplified the human consciousness, and basically it's all around you, right? I was saying, it's like I'm the one that seems to have possessed all the knowledge because it's my connection with the Baromei, and Baromei just told me all the flying saucer, all resonant chambers, and it just that he just, I mean, the Baromei just summed it up all in that word, and so there is no mystery to anti-gravity. There never was, and it never is, and once I realized that. When you talk to an ancient being, he sound like me. He sound like a regular individual like Keith and me. We just meditate a lot. And all the ship does is just amplify the state of your consciousness. And since that resonant concentrated frequency, and all of a sudden, one moment you're there, one moment you're another place. The reason is the yogi believe in this, the Vedic tradition. They believe that you are one with everything, and everything is one with you. So they capitalize on that. Understanding. Does that make sense? They create technology to capitalize on that consciousness natural system. So if you are one with everything and everything is one with you, that means you are everywhere. So therefore, you just choose anywhere you want to be, and also that you're just changing the vibration or changing the state of being. And the entire technology just amplify that and make it so concurrency, and now suddenly you have no choice but to be in that state of existence, wherever that part of universe you want to be in. That's
Matt
why
Painter?
Yogi can levitate, can teleport, you know?
I'm here.
Let me get you in this conversation. And this is a little
bit
off of our current line of thought, but what popped into my mind was the Thule Society, or sometimes called the Thule Society in Germany. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah, they disappeared.
Yeah, well, they had to after what they did with Hitler. Are you kidding me? Holy mackerel! I mean,
they perpetrated a disappearing act. Now, if they went off with aliens or not, we don't know. But they all did disappear.
Well, actually, I have knowledge of their way about. If you want to know, they actually was taken to Alpha Centauri, the last known location. I'm basically contact with the teacher that had made contact with that transmit them the knowledge of electromagnetic resonant chamber, what's known as the first generation flying saucer of the 19th century, as the Hummelby 1 and the Hummelby 2.
The Hummelby?
Later the Nazi created, yes, the Hummelby. I don't know how to say it.
Hanabu, yes.
Hanabu, yes. They created three systems, the Hanabu 1, the Hanabu 2, and also the interstellar system, which the Nazi used to go to the moon and also to Mars. It looked like a cigar-shaped craft, and that's where they met some of the confederation of the Algata command fleet that asked them for political asylum. And now some of the Nazis resided or been given permission to colonize Algata. They've been given a section of land to basically continue their existence under their particular rule, you know, meaning like, you know, rule of behavior.
Did they ever put clothes on?
They don't need clothes after they've been when they were given political asylum. Every basic need of food, clothes, and everything had been given to them.
Well, the reason I said that is the women used to run around naked all the time with real long hair.
In the real society, they were naked? Seriously?
As much as possible.
Yes, because the hair is so important, because in their society, this particular cult, as you can say, that the lady keep their hair real long because the hair, as you can see, contain torsion antenna. It's very sensitive to light. It can channel. You know, it works strongly with electromagnetic etheric energy. That's why you see the buyer may have hair and everything, because it needs that to have human personality. Otherwise, it would sound like a machine. You know,
Can Barame tell us about Maria Orsic?
Okay, Barame, give me access within this Earth reality of the name that Mike had mentioned. Show me detailed combination, what exactly happened. Barame scanning the time and space, that individual person that you're talking about, she is no longer in this physical realm. Checking the present timeline. Okay, I have to go to the past a little bit. 1960, 1950, 1940, 1935, 1930. Located. Okay, now I'm in communication with her now. What do you want to me to say to her?
Well, the reason I bring her up, because she was one of the beautiful young ladies in the real society who wore her hair in those long horsetails. And
right.
I think in some ways she was the leader. And she got the telepathic messages.
Yes.
From
I let her speak for her, and I be translate. I'm in connection with her frequency right now through Bottomake. Bottomake is augmenting the communication between us in this future timeline and her present past timeline. From bodily perspective, everything exists simultaneously. Okay. But now she is talking German, so bodily will be translating. So I won't understand Germany, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. If everything you said, bodily will translate it into German. And everything she said, bodily will translate it into English.
All right.
Okay, communication link is solidified. That's what Bottomay said. Stand by for communication. Ready when we are.
Okay, do you want me to ask a question? Or?
Yes. You ask and she will answer. You know,
okay.
Did
she contact an extraterrestrial civilization in the Aldebaran solar system in the constellation of Taurus?
One moment. Why the translation between our time and their time is meeting. She receiving two telepathic messages between the alien and our time, which is from Bottom A. Okay, I can see everything. Bottom A is showing me what is she experiencing. There is a communication between the Taurus Alpha Centauri the system. There were two extraterrestrial clans, civilization that contacted. One is from the Taurus and the other one is for the center.
Centauri.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they give her the instruction how to build it. But according to Barame and Maria, she didn't have the scientific advancement to comprehend some of the transmission that was given to her. So she required help from those who understand mathematics and electromagnetic concept.
The Thule Society, or the Thule Society, as it's sometimes called, sometimes they refer to it as Ultima Thule. And the Nazi mystics said that was the capital of the ancient Hyperborea. Can Varme tell us anything about that?
Hyperborea is basically in Russia. Hyperborea is the first ancient civilization that was that the human extraterrestrial ancestor of us all have landed, what is known in the continent of Russia, where Mongolia and Russia is, all that area is known as also has Hyperborea. There's still ancient resident building that's still left. What happened to it during the catastrophe of Earth change and also the invasion fleet from the Orion star system, known as the Reptilian Alliance, that invaded the solar system and basically attacked the lost colony of Hyboria that came to Earth around 2 million years ago. Go ahead, Byron. That's the short version of the Hyboria human colony that came to Earth.
Anyone in the panel that wants to ask questions, I have a whole bunch, but go ahead. Anyone in the panel that wants to comment or ask a question, go ahead.
I do have one. It was my understanding that the Thule or Thule, whichever pronunciation you want to use, that they used a lot of hallucinogenic drugs and things like peyote and other in order to get to their level of consciousness to be able to do what they needed to do. Doesn't that warp the consciousness?
No. According to the Bahramay, these people did not use any hallucinogen serum, but they did keep their hair long, and they use a certain Asian yogi method of mantra meditation, basically to get them into the state of such rest, because this a lady basically already have the genetic code reformatted naturally through their genetic heritage, meaning that their DNA was already sensitive through telepathic transmission. And what they needed was the right concurrency, and they used it mantra, a symbol. They visualized it a symbol, and that symbol, and they use a mantra to increase the resonance of that visualization, that creates the link between, allow them to enter what we call hyper time, allow them to communicate with beings that carry that particular symbol, which is a pyramid surrounded by a blue light, a tetrahedron surrounded by a blue light, and that's the symbol they use to contact the two civilizations in the Alpha Centauri and the Taurus.
Mad Painter, any questions, comments?
No, not really. I'm sucking it up.
It's very interesting.
It's pretty interesting stuff. Personally, I have a problem with channeled information is all.
Okay. Keith, any thoughts?
I suppose I'd say the same thing with you, Painter. I'm not sure about it. But I would say this in terms of a question. You said that needed the help of mathematicians and scientists. Could you actually give some names of some of the German scientists who she may have transmitted the information to or worked with?
Bader may say the name of the scientist that Hamlet sent to them, they were just technicians and regular scientists that is for that particular to assist her and to retrieve to put the technology into mechanical, practical application, and they were successful. She only channeled the information. She exactly carried out the instruction onto paper, but she didn't understand the mechanical aspect. All the scientists did just read what she channeled and understand that the certain, all this is to create a frequency generator. That's all it was for the ship, for the hull. Now, the bottom may just explain that schematic right now, and I'm reading it. I understand exactly what it shows. All the information was channeled, was coiled, and was a circuitry how to build a resonance system. And since the being of the Alpha Centauri understand that Earth human has not harnessed their mind to the level that they can use their minds to control the ship field, so they created what we call an artificial controlling system, which is nothing more than a frequency generation with high power. And when the system is resonant, it vibrates the ship through electromagnet vibration. And that's all it did, through coil and through resonance. The same design, the schematic look, is parallel to a frequency generator, and that's what the ship was really is. And when they turn it on, yes, it creates the necessary frequency for it to lift. There was nothing special about that ship.
Let me interrupt. Sorry, Kosel.
Yes, go ahead.
You had mentioned some of the German scientists. Are you familiar with the work of W.O. Schumann?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. No, well, You mean as in Schumann resonance?
Yes.
I've only heard the name because of that. This is why we're asking about whether the woman you're talking to there, of course, was it Maria?
Maria
Whether she just remembers any of the specific names of the scientists. I realize you said the technicians, but I just wondered if there were any names she could remember, because, I mean, this is the kind of thing I suppose I'd have to look up, you know, some of Joseph Farrell's work. So just to
Bartomei say all the names should be basically in the human archive already. Bartomei would summarize what the experience of this, the transmission between her time to our time. Bartomei wanted to put to connect the dot for us. But as for the name, from Bartomei's perspective, it's not necessary, because the whole idea was to transmit what was happening as a map. So for us to basically to fill in the detail by name and stuff, if we choose to, Bartomei is already checking the archive of, there should be names already existing in the archive in the society that it should be online for everybody. And also, Bartomei is saying that most importantly, the key is we want to verify once there was a transmission communication between Maria and her group of consciousness practitioners and the two civilizations that transmit the knowledge how to build a basic resonant generator system, which is known as the Honeyboo Flying Saucer. Was that knowledge transmitted from their culture into the Nazi era? And the answer is yes. You know, that's why we want to know. We want to verify, was there a transmit of information of technological, you know, technology was given?
Keith,
the answer was yes.
Keith,
so that's basically...
We've gotten a little off the topic of ancient structures, but I found it very interesting, and I would...
Okay, we can go back to ancient structures. It's still being the same subject, because the ancient structure share the same resin technology. But that's
okay.
Where we go.
Kosal, please. I wanted to get Keith in this discussion.
Yes, go ahead.
Keith, was there anything particular that you really wanted to share this evening with us?
Well, there were just, as I said, just from looking at the some of the references I didn't mention in the last interview. Well, obviously, it was only an hour and we ran out of time. But it was just the one about, it was just mentioned at the end about the Great Pyramid and the use of water in there. And the man who came up with this, his name's Edward Kunkel, K-U-N-K-E-L, Kunkel, Edward Kunkel. And he was born late 19th century, just going to the 20th century. He lived for about 80 years or so. And he basically came up with, and he wrote a book called The Pharaoh's Pump. And he showed that the internal chambers and structure of the Great Pyramid were perfect for basically using water in order to essentially generate movement and power. It was a critical part of what was going on. Water was flowing around. And just to give you an example, it's a bit like, imagine you've got like a frying pan a couple of inches deep. If you were to put a candle in the middle and then just fill it with water about an inch and a half or so, light the candle and then put a bottle over the candle touching the bottom of the pan, and what you'd see is the water, as the candle is burning and changing the air inside, the water actually goes down in the pan and it builds up inside the bottle, you know, and this is, you know, changes in air pressure. And one of the interesting things about this guy Kunkel is this, and this is the kind of stuff you really like in science. He developed this as a water pumping system, and he got patents on it. And he was getting all the stick from people who basically told him, like, when he mentioned the inspiration for his idea, it was the Great Pyramid. You know, people thought he was a bit of a loon, but, you know, provided he didn't say that, he was kind of okay. But one of the really good things is this. He got his patents for this, yeah, in 1949. And one of the things he'd done is he had designed a working model of this. And it was very much a match to what was the internal structure of the Great Pyramid. And one of the things that he needed in his design, it needed a cavity between roughly where the king's chamber and the queen's chamber is, yeah? And he had this in his design. It was critical to allow it to function. And at that time, 1949, you know, Egyptologists were saying, oh, no, we know about the internal workings of it. There's no such cavity there. But then it turned out that 28 years later, there was a man called Lambert T. Dolphin from the Stanford Research Institute, and they did some kind of ground penetration of the pyramid, and they found an anomalous cavity right where, it was necessary in Kunkel's design. And not only that, he said it'll require certain doors, chambers to, be open and closing. And again, he looked at the Great Pyramid, and lo and behold, in the descending chamber, there were these heavy doors that were on the rotors, and they would slam down and come back up again as valves. And it just was so beautiful in that he'd constructed this thing. And, we didn't yet know about certain chambers in the Great Pyramid, but once he'd constructed it, and then we found later on they existed as a necessary component in its functioning, it really nails the thing that it seems that it was a structure which did use water that was being shifted around and pressure built up due to air changes and so forth. But again, I do think that this component of it is just the way in which I tie this into like the work of Christopher Dunn, because he talks about the Great Pyramid as a resonance device that interacts with the Earth. Its dimensions tying it to the Earth's dimensions harmonically. You basically have these fits between the base structure and the dimensions of the Earth. I'll have to show you website link on my website for that, but what that basically means is you are looking at a resonant interaction. And what Christopher Dunn says, he talks about internal equipment in the Grand Gallery section in particular. It's like a nuclear power plant which is like being stripped of all its internal workings, and you've got the outer shell. In the case of the Great Pyramid, it's a massive stone structure that remains, but all the internal components have been removed. And so, I do think the water flowing around is just a method to, as Chris says, set it in motion and do it at such a certain vibration that based on its dimensions, it interacts with the Earth, and that's how you harness the energy.
Fascinating. Barbara, is there anything particular that you were really wanting to share this evening? I know you've been doing some research on the Emerald Tablets, and you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the Great Pyramid as well.
only by accident. I would really totally agree with his description of the Great Pyramid, because there were no hieroglyphs there. And Khufu and his wife and his daughters were... The small pyramids were meant to be their burial place, not the large pyramid. Khufu didn't build that. They have all sorts of styluses and things from the time of his reign. And while the smaller pyramids are mentioned, there is no mention of the Great Pyramid. And you'd think if he had built it, he would have bragged about it, because, my goodness, it was the biggest structure on the planet for a very long time. So I am beginning to believe that the Great Pyramid and the pyramids, especially the ones in South America, were not built by the Mayans and the Aztecs. They were built long before they ever got there. They just used them, because there's no way they could have been built by those people. So, the more I look into this, and it's very much like the other work that I'm doing, I keep finding things that are historically important, that should be recorded, and they should be in our histories, and they're being ignored because they're not understood. I mean, the building of the pyramids, come on. The stone structures, for heaven's sakes, in New England here, give me a break. Giants. I mean, all of these things are being proven over and over and over again to first not be of human construction, second to have, you know, the giants to have actually physically been here and been a large part of our history. And the stone chambers and the stone walls, the same thing. I get to the point where I get very angry because it feels like there's this huge cover-up of everything that scientists didn't understand. They made up a story. They cubbyholed everything they didn't understand in it, and they moved on.
Yeah.
Because they wanted everything to be neat and clean and explained. And those things they couldn't explain, they either made up a fable about or they buried. And we're coming upon today so many of those things that have been buried and ignored, and it's criminal. And we're letting them be destroyed, a lot of them, which is horrendous. It shouldn't happen. I mean, we're losing parts of our past that are important. And I think they're important on a lot of different levels, but the most important one is we're coming to a time where we're beginning to understand our higher consciousness. We're beginning to understand that part of our consciousness that we're not using, but that we have access to if we do take the trouble to learn how to get there. And if people would just be made more and more aware of the fact that we have the power. Look at the guy that did the Coral Castle down in Florida. He moved huge pieces of stones, and he never once used anything other than a tripod. I think the part about the Great Pyramid that boggles my mind. They didn't have wheels when that thing was built. They didn't have compasses. So how the heck did they calibrate it? And they sheared off the top of a mountain to build it on. There had to be a better place to build it without shearing off the top of a mountain. So how can anybody tell me that humans did this? Now, I think people with consciousnesses like ours that had access to all of it did it. And I totally agree with the resonance. I totally agree that it's a higher consciousness type of technology we're looking at. It's not a technology of nuts and bolts. It's a technology of vibration and consciousness. And again, science won't go there because they can't prove it.
Kosal, can you tell us about the architects of the pyramids all over the earth? Who were they? Where did they come from, and what did they look like? Are you still there, Kosal? Maybe that'll be the question that we'll all wonder for the rest of the week.
It's going to hang in the air for a while.
Well, he shows that he's there. I don't know if he's listening or not.
Maybe he muted himself.
Oh, are you muted, Kosal? Oh, okay, let me try it again. Are you there, Kosal? Kosal? You there, Kosal?
So, I just heard him.
I know, I had the hardest time getting him into the show today. And now I can't, I don't know, maybe he walked away. Very, very interesting.
Well, Mark, I got something that's kind of interesting.
Go ahead.
The archaeologist Carl Smits died about a week ago, and he has been heading up the Gobo Tempe dig.
Oh, is that right?
Since the 80s.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's pretty old. They think between 10,000 and 8,000 B.C. It was
probably
buried.
Is that Göbekli Tepe? Is that how they call it? Yeah.
Göbekli Tepe is
what I call it. Yeah, in Turkey, that one, yeah. It's the one that Robert Schock's been looking at as well.
Yeah, he's looked at it. Well, just about any major player in this game has been there.
Well, what do you think of that whole structure? What was it used for? Was it a dwelling place or what?
No, nobody lived there. It was some kind of shrine or worship center.
Hmm.
Are you talking the one near Pumapunka?
No, this is in Turkey.
Oh, in Turkey, okay.
Yeah. It isn't far from the underground city that's there. I can't pronounce the name, too.
Oh, that amazing place. I can't pronounce
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that thing's something else.
Oh, my, if people have never seen that, they had chambers. They had, I mean, it was a huge city, and thousands, according to, you know, scientists, thousands of people, did you catch the sarcasm?
Yeah.
thousands of people lived there. And they had boulders that could roll into place and roll back again. I mean, the construction was just phenomenal.
From one direction, from the inside, you could close it, open it. You could not open it from the outside.
Exactly.
Well, let me get Kosal. Kosal, are you there now? Well, he shows up, and I put him on. Kosal, are you 972? You show up to, I think you're 972, Kosal. All right. We can't hear you. I don't know what's going on. The NSA doesn't want you to talk anymore, so you're not going to, we can't hear you. Speak up. You're on the air. Oh, it's too weird. It's just too weird. I wanted him to comment, yes, you are 972, Kosal, but go ahead and speak. You're on the air. Yeah, well. It's getting late. It's probably really getting
late. Let him talk. He thinks he's on the air.
So, Painter, what's going on with your show? Are you still talking about these kinds of things on your program?
Oh, yeah. My main thing is that we've been around way longer than what they want to admit. I believe, like Barbara, that there was giants. I believe something happened back about roughly anywhere from 12 to 24,000 years ago that changed us physically.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe even the Internet, I believe this is our mechanical attempt to get back to a
super group, consciousness.
Yeah, super consciousness that we used to be able to tap into. You got what's called junk DNA. There's no such thing as junk DNA. It's just inactive DNA.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Do you think that the elite are trying to suppress?
Of course they are.
Suppress us now?
Yeah, of course they are. They don't want people who can think. They want people who can work.
Yeah. You know, we've got a lot of strange things going on. We got the Ebola virus that's supposedly running around. We've got... In Toledo, which is on the other side of the state, here in Ohio, about a million people, I think, without water.
I think they got that straightened out today, but I'm not positive.
Did they get that straightened out? We've got the fires raging in Canada and in Washington and Oregon. We've got the illegals flooding across the southern border.
How can nobody not think we're under attack?
Yeah. Did you see there was something on Facebook where a truck driver was coming through from Mexico? And
yes, I'm back.
The NSA is
doing a definitely good job on me right now because Biden is saying that, yeah, someone is tapping to you. Golly, why not now? Trying to pass the pyramid is a light system. You know, it was built by, I'm going to name all the different races at different times, and now suddenly they want to go ahead and, you know, stop the history lesson. My goodness. Okay,
Barbara,
I'm ready for you.
No. Hang on, because I want Barbara to finish her thought there.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, a trucker was coming through over the border, and the guard came up and said, how many people, and the guy said one, and he said, are you a citizen, and the truck driver said, yeah, does it matter? And the guard said, not anymore.
Whoa, what's the implication of that?
If anybody can get through, I guess.
Wow.
The Amaro's coming to a city near you soon?
Yeah. Okay, Kosal, I'm going to ask you this question again, and I'm going to combine it with a question from the chat room. Can you tell us about the architects of the pyramids all over the earth? Who were they? Where did they come from? What did they look like? And who or what is the super consciousness?
As you wish. I'm going to start with the purpose in the architecture of the pyramid. The purpose of the pyramid is basically is to harness the ley line of the planet, the intersector point, to stabilize dimensional shield or light. The pyramid built for a specific three main purpose: one for communication, two for stored knowledge, three for create harmonious synchronicity of the Earth's electromagnetic etheric field, where it stabilizes different dimensions. That means with the pyramid, all the world, priests can basically raise the vibrational of the planet to a different dimension. For example, if a certain aspect of dimension are in chaotic where the citizen battling, that means the priest can raise the planetary consciousness and help stabilize, move the people who think in positive to another dimension, and where another parallel Earth can merge, and they can exist more in harmony. No, there is no more war, there is no more hunger. Because in a certain parallel Earth, there will be conflict. There will be, like, rival and fighting. So the priest can basically gather all the people who think positive. They can definitely vibrate and think, though people who think in that particular channel can raise the physical vibration with the Earth, to and sync it with another positive Earth, another positive reality. And that was designed so people can exchange knowledge and data between the denizens of different Earth and also the denizens of different star systems. And so there's going to be a trade. Both information and both technology can occur. And so it can continue to raise the consciousness of the people that is channeling.
Can I interrupt you, Kosal, yes, just for a second? I want you to do something for me.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I want you to take three deep breaths. In, out. Just take two. In, out. Okay, one more. In, out. Relax. Start again slowly.
Okay. The purpose of the pyramid, correct? The three is to bring light, so the priest of that time can channel the information needed for that particular environment that can stabilize, because the Earth tend to go through geological changes. So by building such pyramid, all the different priests throughout the different node points, they're able in constant communication with each other, so they can disseminate information appropriately to help the denizen of that particular land, so to be in sync with other denizen in that other particular land. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. So by having a pyramid there, resonance systems such as UFO can be used to travel between star systems, and communication can occur between other pyramids that are built on other planets and the priests of that planet and their citizens. So there's always be a constant communication of priests and priestess that is in charge of taking care of each pyramid or node point. That was the whole purpose of it, and to stabilize the environment from, for example, from earthquake, volcano. That's why it was built, not only just to stabilize, but to allow transmission of information between denizens of different land or different star system or different dimensions. The key was to allow information to flow between priests and priestess or initiate at that particular time. So priests and priestess initiate can talk to different people from past, present, or future, or from other dimension, or from other parallel Earth or star system. And at the same time, the structure also, it emits light. So when people who are sick and stuff can go into a pyramid and meet the priest, the priest can transmit light information, raise the vibration, and it will cure them from depression and cancer and also old age. And that was the entire. Now, to answer the other question, who is this architecture? Who are they? What do they look like? Well, it depends on what era you are talking about. Era meaning 25,000-year cycle era. The era that built the Great Pyramid, they were elongated human beings. They were mathematical inclined. They don't see things like you and I see things. They see energy field, the aura. And they don't talk like you and I talk. They talk with thinking. They can project thought into your head. and they understand empathetically who you are, what you are, so they can communicate with structures. For example, with the pyramid, they can actually talk to it, and it talks back to them like a computer. So they can talk to stone, and these people can basically, the consciousness can talk to different objects, and the object tell them what to do, and which is the reflection of their higher consciousness and of their collective at that time. So who are they? They are not normal human beings. These people are high consciousness human beings who have elongated head, you know, look like an alien head. And their capacity was very huge. Yeah. They were very huge. For example, 8 feet, 9 feet, or 7 feet.
And the extraterrestrial, though, were they not from the Earth? Did they visit the Earth?
They would call themselves as teachers. They were teachers. They teach the denizens of the people that era mathematics, how to build structure into harmony with to represent light and also to represent electromagnetic resonance.
Were they extraterrestrial humans?
They can travel between planets, yes.
How tall were they, Kosal?
It depends what kind. You have three types. I'm just categorizing you. There were those who is 8 feet, 7 to 8 feet, and there was those who is 12 feet. And there was those who is 30 to 35 feet.
Yeah.
In the different areas.
Now, were the most ancient ones the tallest?
The whole purpose of the ancient culture, they were taller than the one that came after them. That's why I say it depends on the era.
And
50,000 years ago, the one that came around 50,000 years ago that became teachers, they were around 30 to 35 feet.
And
some even up to 100 feet. Yes.
How high of an IQ did they have?
They were, if we use the IQ of our level right now, we can't compare. Because this is
and
hypertime. Yes.
I have a question. The material that I've been looking at about the Emerald Tablets talks of Thoth or Tahuti or who became Hermes. Does this sort of correspond with what you're saying roughly?
Repeat the question one more time. Your transmission is
okay.
Very clear.
The Emerald Tablets that I've been researching and looking into, it's theoretically the work of Thoth, who was an Atlantean, who actually took his people to Egypt about 50 or 60,000 years ago to help the Egyptians come out of the Stone Age. And it sounds like you're talking about the same time frame with your very, very tall teachers, and he and the people he brought with him, theoretically, were very tall.
Yes, I definitely can, basing on what I'm seeing right now and what Baume is showing me, definitely these were people who lived quite a long time, like thousands of years, and they definitely have elongated head, and they dressed differently from the people of time, and they built the pyramid system as a teaching place. And also as a electromagnetic frequency controlling system, so they can anchor and control and stabilize the continent of that particular ley line. So my understanding, these people are nothing to be messed with. They can definitely hear what you and I are talking about right now, and they are aware that I am using this my resonant technology to tap into their timeline, and they are definitely listening in at this moment.
The material that I've gotten or that I've read through is that he ruled Egypt for 15,000 years, that he in many ways is an immortal. And again, of course, there are no...
Yes.
No, never.
Never die. He able to become pure light. So...
Yes.
And still existing... In hypertime, so According to Bahrain, once you exist in hypertime, you can't age. You can't. You already complete your mutation of physical and light combination. That means you are a being of light already. So, therefore, time doesn't matter because you already exist in hypertime. What does hypertime mean? That means you learn to crystallize your light and able to release your light at the same time.
Before, I mean, we're going to have to, unfortunately, we have to wrap this up. This is just so fascinating. I want to tell you about a dream I had, Kosal. I want you to comment on that briefly. I know there's really not enough time to comment on this, but you said these people are not to be messed with, and I had to laugh. I had this dream that me and another fellow were standing, I think, in very, very ancient times in Egypt, and this very strange-looking craft came out of the sky, and it sat down, like, at a distance. And these two fellas came walking past us. They didn't look at us. They didn't acknowledge us. They were two, almost three times taller than we were. We knew we had to follow them. They went into this room, this building. The leader among the two lifted his hand up, and this large chair just moved by itself across the floor, and he sat down, and he took up something to write with, and he wrote a whole bunch of things down on this piece of paper that I had to do. And then he got up, and both of them got up and left, and they walked out, and they got in their ship, and they left. And the one thing I remember more than anything else was that, I had to do. There was no question that there was never a question that I was going to do everything that was on that piece of paper, no matter what. When you said these people were not to be messed with, that just resonated so much with me because they can literally hear your thought before you can get it out of your head. And,
they exist in hyper. Their consciousness operates in hyper time. That means hypertime, hyperspace. That means they already know what you're going to do before you even think or do or have the intention of doing them. That is quite a different perspective in how communication occurs. Like someone already know what you're going to say before you say, think before, and do before you're doing it. So they can always see you before you even decide to come their way. It's like a different type of social interaction. And as for super consciousness, these people are the definition of super consciousness. For some reason, we are going to become like them since they all are teachers. Does that make sense? They all are of origin, you can say.
Mm-hmm. Keith, tell us about your website and your books.
Yeah, my website is called occultphysics.com. Have you got a chat thing in your blog spot? I've just put the link there to Skype,
that.
But I don't know what page you're on there. But it's occultphysics.com, and my book, which is, you can find details at the website, is called The Lost Age of High Knowledge, and it's all about ancient civilizations. Regarding what you were saying, Barbara, about the Emerald Tablets, I've got a book called The Emerald Tablets in my book room, but I think it's just a collection of, it's only a very short few brief verses. Is that correct?
Actually, it's very interesting material. I some say it is, but then it has been expanded upon, and the expansion is fascinating. It starts with, as you know, this is the truth and yada yada, and then as above, so below. It was and became the foundation, or one of the foundational books of the Corpus Hermetica.
Well, I've definitely got that. I've got that book. I've read that. That is a
and
very interesting book.
And it became a part of also the, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, the Kybalion, Kybalion. Fascinating stuff.
And you were saying about 15,000 years. I was thinking actually about the king lists of Manetho and Berossus.
No, this goes back to what is ancient Egypt to us was present day. It goes back to what was ancient Egypt then. It goes back about 50,000 years.
Because, you know, one of the great disasters is called the Toba catastrophe, cracking the earth, massive destabilization, and this was once thought to have been the destruction of, at one time, an advanced civilization on the earth in a prior time, and that's been dated to around 70,000 years ago. The Toba catastrophe centered on, I believe, Indonesia. Massive disruption. This is why when you were mentioning about the dates and the recovering civilization about 50,000 years ago, 60,000, I was thinking kind of fits as a revival after that disaster.
It does. It does.
Barbara, go ahead and tell us about your website and your books.
Website is barbaradulong.com. The book is Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom. Also a deck of cards of hand-painted mandalas called The Cosmic Deck of Initiation. Other books are on the way.
A Mad Painter, your website, your radio shows, and your book.
Well, it's madpainter.com, and from there you can find where my radio show is just by scrolling down and clicking on the picture. And my shows are Monday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m.
Excellent. And Kosal, your books, your website, Barame?
Yeah, my book you can get at Amazon.com. Put my name, Kosal Ouch, K-O-L, last name O-U-C-H, and it'll be Stargate Ascension, Cultivating Inner Force, Reading People Like Book, and also the Torsion Field, Wish Granting Chair, et cetera, and, you know, and Zero Point Energy, et cetera. And my website is Barame.com, Barame.com. And also, my website has donation too, if those who want to help donors to keep our website going, you know. You know, we're trying to keep things going.
Excellent.
To run thing.
Another great show. I want to thank everyone for coming. Fascinating stuff. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay.
Pleasure.